Testing, testing.
The trash mic looks like me. What'd you do? Don't talk about magic. Magic's a Lansing boy, you know, now he's in trouble. Someone told me yesterday that the gays have their own Bible now. They call it the HIV. Somebody was up here. I think Brother Joe was talking this morning about it. If I get AIDS, I'm saying, my goodness, I'd shoot myself or something if I got that mess. Shoot you. Okay, Brother Jack. Bless your heart. But I've been honored to be here, frankly, these few days and to speak to what I consider, and I'm not trying to flatter you or just to say it, but my hat's off to you missionaries and candidates and others who have been on the field, and I've been honored as a young preacher. I'm glad I still call myself that, to preach with these senior statesmen in the ministry. And I appreciate it. I'm thankful for the invitation from Brother Smith and from Brother Mullins and the hospitality and all of that. It's really been a blessing to me. I've learned a lot. I'm not even going to the mission field. And I've been afraid. I've been in shock. I do travel to the mission field. I go 3 or 4 times a year field. I'll be going to the Philippines next month. I've been getting real nervous about that here and stuff. And be going to Romania again in the fall. I've been to Romania already once this year, about 3 or 4 times a year for the last 2.5 years I've been going to that part of the world. I was thinking about it yesterday when I was talking about, I mentioned how people are going to Eastern Europe. And I wouldn't want anybody to misunderstand what I was saying. I really feel like I know why so many people are going to Eastern Europe. And it dawned on me one day preaching in a church in what was East Germany. And I was talking to maybe about this many people. And I looked out across that audience. They did not smell the same. And they did not sound the same. But they looked the same. And the thought crashed into my soul that if 75 or maybe 100 years ago, some 21-year-old boy did not jump on a boat and come from Europe to America, I would be the one sitting there. And the reason that there is such a love for that part of the world from American ministers is that's our roots. That's where we came from. And we have a burden, I think, and we have a desire to go there. And I want to go one step further. I believe that the moldy prayers of saints 400 and 500 years old may be being answered now in allowing people to get to that part of the world. So that's where I'm coming from on that thought. But I do thank you and appreciate the time. And 30 minutes, it's fun to preach 30 minutes because I have a whole lot more material than I do time. And so you can just throw stuff out and add stuff in. And I enjoy that, and I appreciate the privilege to have 30 minutes of your time, an hour and a half of your time this week. And I appreciate it very, very much. I want to say this. You are needed. You are desperately needed in the fields of the world. We had a wonderful preacher, Daryl Champlin, spoke at our church a few months ago. Brother Champlin was a missionary in the Belgian Congo for 25 years. And then when the revolution came, he got out at the risk of his life. Matter of fact, he and his wife were in another part of the country, and they got out and their children were still there. And now for the last 25 years, he's been a missionary in Suriname. So here's a man with a half a century on the foreign field. He made this staggering statement. in our mission conference. He said there, as far as he knows, and he's the head of a mission board now, there are only 38,000 missionaries in the world that we could even consider close to our stripe. Only 38,000. And then he compounded that statistic by this statement. 22,000 of those missionaries are over 55 years of age. Two-thirds of the missionaries that are anywhere near our stripe are over 55. And so God definitely, I don't know if need is a good word, but it's desperate that we younger men do something and get to the field in God's good time. I want you to look in your book, if you would, this afternoon for our allotted time to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. It's strange that you could look at M-A-R-K and say Luke. I have no idea why that happens to somebody. It must be senility or something. Amen. You being a Yankee, probably would be it. A lot of friendly folk here, and wherever we are. We are in North Georgia, though. I want you to know that. I feel comfortable here. You know, I heard a story. I just want to tell it. It doesn't have anything to do with anything. But I heard a story the other day. A guy went to buy a suit, and he went into a clothing store, and he put this thing on, and the pants were way long, and the coat was like this, and he stood there in the mirror. And he said, well, I don't think it fits very well. And the guy said, well, that's easy. He said, just kind of pull up the sleeves till you're about three quarters above your shirt sleeve and just kind of hold your arms like that. So that's exactly where it's supposed to be. He said, yeah, it is. That's right. He said, what about the length? He said, well, just get it up there where you're supposed to be and put your legs together like that. It's perfect, you know. And the guy bought the suit and he went walking out of the store, you know, like, yeah. And there were two old ladies standing there. And one of them said to the other, said, oh, look at that poor crippled man. And the other one said, yeah, he may be crippled, but his suit sure fits nice. It doesn't have anything to do with anything, but I just want to tell it for some reason. Yeah. I'm trying to get up enough nerve to do that. We may read two or three chapters of the book of Mark. Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Father in heaven, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God, that over 20 years ago birthed me into your family, and who has been my closest friend and my constant companion all these years, would take control of my thoughts and empower me to be a help and a blessing to these your servants. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes on this little thought. One thing thou lackest. One thing thou lackest. I hope that you would not lack an anointing. Our brother discussed this morning an anointing. Brother Fisher read from Luke chapter 4 this morning for our hearing, where Jesus was anointed to preach the gospel. God help us. If He needed an anointing, how much more do we need the same? To think that we could involve ourselves in some type of spiritual activity without God's anointing. One thing thou lackest is a good pastor. We heard about that this morning. One thing thou lackest is restraint. I can't restrain myself at the dinner table. God help me, how am I going to restrain myself in the deacon's meeting? One thing thou lackest, teachability. Well, I've been at it a long time. I went to Bible college. Who is he or who are they to tell me? God, give us a teachable spirit. One thing thou lackest is teachability. Brother West talked about trust. One thing thou lackest, how does God trust the Lord like that? Our brother Pike talked about Christian ethics, practicality. One thing thou lackest, practicality. Our brother from the track league, one thing thou lackest is tracks. I think you can get some of those. Sound like to me. One thing I lack is shock. You'll get it. I'm shocked and I'm not going. You'll get it. Some time ago, this is an awful confession to make, but I love to cook. I do all the baking at our house. There's two reasons I think my boys like me to come home. One, every once in a while I get a love offering and bring some money. But if we're ever going to have anything baked, I do it. Not because my wife is incapable, I'm just better at it than she is. We're not taping this, are we? But I am. I'm a good baker. I'm a good cook. I enjoy it. I like to do it. And I got a boy that likes to do it. My middle boy, he likes to cook. He works at McDonald's. He's a great cook. Serious. But I was. I make good pies, real good crust. Man, it's just a big thing with me, you know. If I ever flop preaching, I'm going to become a cook, you know. Anybody know where there's a... Ain't a short order cook? Yeah, McDonald's. But I got another thing. I like to watch what I'm cooking. So when I bought my wife her stove, I got one with a window in it. And when I cook something, I pull myself up a chair, turn that light on, and I sit there and I watch it. I don't have anything better to do. I'm an evangelist. We just preach the same old sermons. Oh, we don't study. We just watch this stuff cook, you know. So one day, I had never made this particular item before, and I saw it. I'd been to a store, and they had these like chocolate chips on sale, but they were butterscotch. And I bought a bunch of them because they were cheap, like two bags for a buck or something. I don't know what it was. And I was going through the store, and I was looking at them, and they had a recipe on there for something called oatmeal scotchies. And I said, I'm going to make some of those. So I went home, and I mixed all the ingredients up, put them in the bowl, stirred them up, you know. And my wife, when she cooks, she doesn't measure. I measure everything right to the nth degree. That's the way I do it.
And I measured everything. I stuck them in there. And I, you know, you take a spoon and you put them on the cookie tray and you stick them in there, turn the light on, sit in, and watch. And I'm watching these oatmeal scotches. And before my eyes, magic. They became oatmeal smushies. They just all melded together. I went in and got my wife. I said, "You got to see these." She was doing something somewhere else. And I said, look at what are these things doing, honey? And she looked at me and she said, "You fool." She said, "You left the flour out." I said, I never make any mistakes. Well, we pulled them things out, poured them back in the bowl, measured the flour in, mixed it all up. She said, "God, just the ice. I ain't throwing nothing out, baby." Hey, I've got clothes I wore in high school. You ask her. I bought a dresser last week so I could keep it all in. I don't throw anything away. I'm bad about that. So we mixed them all up. But you know, I had butterscotch chips in there, and I had the ingredients, and I had the spices, and I had oatmeal and all that. But one thing. The flour. I got to tell you this. I don't have time, but I got to tell you. One time, my dad and I went deer hunting. Hundreds of times my dad and I went deer hunting. But, and Jack was talking last night about we didn't get anything. But we didn't get anything. But you know why? We went hunting this one time with Brother Wood. And this is another story. I don't have time to tell this either. But we went off in the woods. And Brother Wood, he has two boys. Jeff and Joey were with him. They're sitting in the car. We come back to them. I mean, they're sitting in the car. I don't think they got out of the car, to be honest. Snow's about that deep. Brother Wood's so excited. He said, "Man, I hope we saw 24 deer." I said, "Where are they?" He said, "Oh, I thought they were all does, and we just let them go by." I said, "My goodness, something's the matter with this guy." But the reason he didn't get any, he never got out of the car. It was too cold, you know. One thing he lacks is guts, I guess. When the snow's that deep. My dad and I went deer hunting. We walked back to the woods. Deer jumped up. We both unloaded our guns at it. And it got away. We missed it. I went and sat in my spot. My dad went over and sat in his spot. About 30, 40 minutes later, I heard him, bam, bam, bam. I said, "Man, he's got one. He's going to be calling me. Who do you think's going to dress it? And who do you think's going to pull it out? Me." He never came. Got about 5:30 at night. It was dark. I walked out of the woods. I met him. We walked along, and he never said anything. And when he doesn't say anything, you know something's up. We walked along. I kind of looked at him, and I said, "Where are you shooting at?" And he looked at me with a strange look. I was shooting at a deer. I said, "Well, yeah, I guess you missed it." "Yeah, I did." I said, "Why? What happened?" He didn't want to tell me. And what had happened after I finally weaseled it out, the old rascal, he had gotten that wood, sat down in my brother's blind, and within about 25, 30 minutes or so, this beautiful 8-point buck walked into him about 30 feet away. He put that brand new gun right up on him, pulled the trigger, and he had forgotten the load. So here he is, still loading. He did get some shots off, but that's it. He had a gun, he had a license, he had a good place to hunt, he had all that, but he lacked one thing. Shell on the right. One missing ingredient in your life can be very important. You may have health, you may have wealth, you may have good looks, you may have religion, you may have a lot of things. There's a guy in our book by the name of Naaman. He was a great man, he was a noble man, he was a wonderful fellow, but he did not have health. One thing. Our boy in this Bible here, in this little story, he had a lot of things. I don't have time to give you this and get to where I want to get to. He had interest. In verse number 17, he came. He had urgency. He came running. He kneeled. He had respect. He had morality. He hadn't committed any of the crimes against any of those six commandments. He had everything but one thing that really mattered. Jesus said to him in that 21st verse, "One thing thou lackest." I want to ask you this question this afternoon. What do you lack? What is that one missing? You say, "Oh, preachers, it's about 20 things." No, that one thing. One thing thou lackest. Now, I know I'm talking to missionaries, and I'm not trying to denigrate anyone with this statement. But if you lack this, forget it. A call. "Well, I've got everything, preacher. I know that King James Bible backward and forward. I know a lot about the language. Maybe I was born here in America, but I grew up in a family that was they had two different languages, you know, whatever." What is it? I was going to say bivocational, and I knew that wasn't right. And I almost said bisexual, and I knew that wasn't right. Or you'd have never gotten that family. And that's your fault, Brother Wall, started talking about all that stuff, you know. My soul. You got all this, but if you don't have a call, you might as well stay home. I don't feel like saying this with a couple from my dad's church here. I hope they don't carry it home. I don't even know if these people go to my dad's church anymore. I was sitting behind a little oak desk one time, a little old cubby hole of an office I had when I was my dad's associate for 11 years. And a man came into my office one day and stood in front of my desk and kind of nervously walked around. Finally, he looked down at me and he said, "Brother Tim, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Do you think that I ought to go to church?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "No." He said, "Why?" A little huffy. He said, "I don't think you can call." He got mad. I was there in the service. I'm going to say something, and don't get me wrong. My dad got him down here to Sammy Allen's, and they had one of these big awesome things, and they took it up, and he went. I was talking to Brother Cleese this at lunch, and he was telling about being in a big awesome thing. I said, "How much that come in?" He said, "Oh, about half." Don't get excited about, "Boy, I wish they'd do that for me." You're still going to have to work some. And he got and went over, and I was there in my dad's church. I was in evangelism by now, and I was in my dad's church when he stood in the pulpit. Just the Sunday before he went to the field, took his wife and two children and made this statement. He said, "I'm going to the mission field, the Philippines, to prove to one man that I can do it." Proving to Tim Green that he was wrong does not constitute a call. And I don't have any problem if I'd have been wrong. Honest to God, I wish I had it. He went to the field. He lacked his fear. He brought his wife home. She did not speak one word that he needed. And a couple of months ago, his little daughter, 20 now, died of AIDS. Just lack one thing. I lack a real call, but I'm a bother. I want to repeat what was talked about this morning. One thing I lack is an anointing. I believe this with all of my heart. I don't know if I can prove it from the Bible doctrinally, but I think I can practically. When God gives you another ministry, you must have an anointing for that ministry. You say, well, I was called to be a pastor. Fine. You blessed be God, better have an anointing of God to be a pastor.
I lack an anointing. I can get by without it. One thing I lack is integrity. I don't mind tooting someone else's horn. I was in Romania March and April, end of March, first of April, Brother Landolt. A fella called me up long distance from over there, another gentleman. And they'd gotten a big place. They didn't have any heat. And, you know, there's a time difference. You know, it's funny, the missionaries don't. I don't know the time difference, but I live here. They live there. You think they know. This other guy called me up and he said, Brother Landolt doesn't have any heat in the house he's in. He said, I want you to bring over some kerosene heaters. I said, okay. It was 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. If he'd have told me to bring over an elephant, I'd say, okay, fine. I don't get up at 4:35 in the morning. That's Don Green, not Tim Green. He's prayed 4 hours by the time I get up. So after I woke up about 11, I said, how am I going to carry two kerosene heaters to Romania? Oh, you know, in my hand luggage, I get those things are that tall, you know. So I just called two or three preachers and I said, listen, how about sending some money for Brother Landau so I can buy some kerosene heaters and we get over there. Fine, man, the money poured in. Plenty, more than enough. I got over there and we found one kerosene heater from Hungary to Romania. And we must have looked 10 places minimum. We couldn't find one. We found one little old Japanese thing. 100 liters of fuel. And it ended up costing us, I think, about $100. There was no question in Mark's mind or my mind what to do with the rest of that money. He said, what'd you do it, Tim? And I got back to the state. I wrote checks and sent back the balance to every one of them. What else would you do? But we need it for something else. That could be called mail fraud if I sent out a letter to them. There probably is some federal communication organization that could get you in trouble if you use the telephone. One thing I lack is a message. I don't have anything to tell them. I'll be honest with you, and I know this may be trite to you, but hey, there are some men that go to the mission field without a message. The heathen of this world do not need to be told that there's a vengeful, wrathful God that's going to damn you. They know that. They've been throwing their babies in volcanoes for centuries. You know what they need to know? There is a loving God. There is a Redeemer. I read through the book of Job last week. I read a verse. I've probably read it 100 times before, but I read it the other day. It gripped my soul in Job chapter 33 and verse number 24. He made a little statement, or some one of those guys did, I have found a ransom. You know what the men and women of the world need to hear. I have found a ransom for the sin of the world. Came across another interesting verse. Amazing how you can read this book and not read this book. I read the other day in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 about our God and this wonderful statement, who delivered us from so great a death, who doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver. He delivered me when He saved me out of a mess. He is delivering me now from the messes I make. And thank God one of these days He's going to deliver me from the whole mess. That's
the heathen in the wild need to hear.
Amen.
There is a Savior. There is a Redeemer. Like our sister sang last night in Spanish, there is a maestro. Someone to help my ship as it sails on the rough water of life. One thing I lack is I lack a message, preacher. Oh, God help us. Oh, I lack commitment to the task. One thing that so impressed me about those Iron Curtain churches is the commitment. If you were converted in Romania on Sunday, you got a pink slip on Monday. A man would walk an aisle and trust Christ. Those secret agents would be in the audience, and they'd report, you didn't have a job on the morning. Didn't cost me that to get saved. One thing we lack is commitment to the task. Sometimes it's a vision. I got a lot of stuff I don't have time to share. My time is gone. I pray somehow we can see through. I preached with a man in Louisville, Kentucky, the last week of April. He told this story, and I'll quit. He was invited out to dinner in a home after preaching on Sunday morning. They pulled up in front with the pastor this beautiful home, a mansion, probably worth, he thought, maybe $250,000 to $350,000. He said he went into that home, beautiful place, brand new. And he said, when I stepped into the house, I noticed that it was just wood on the floor, not oak floor, but just the underlayment, the particle board. There was no carpet in the house at all. And he said, I stood around with the pastor and the people. He said, you know, all the knickknacks were on the shelf, the pictures were all hung. Everything, you know, they hadn't just moved in. They'd been there a while, and there was nothing on the floor. And he said, I just couldn't keep my mouth shut, and I finally just said to the man of the house, I guess you'll be getting some carpet pretty soon. He kind of shrugged, said, no, not really. And he said, I just couldn't keep my mouth shut anymore. And he said, you just probably haven't found the kind that you really want, huh? He didn't say anything. It's on back order? And finally, the lady of the house said, oh, no, preacher, you don't understand. She said, this home is our dream home. They were retired people. Said, we planned all our life for this home. Exactly where we wanted it. She said, and we went a few weeks ago, and I went to several stores looking for carpet, just the exact shade I wanted and the exact everything I wanted. And she said, we found it on a Saturday. She said, the carpet this entire house is $16,000. She said, we had the money. We told the man that we'd come Monday and pay for it and have the carpet delivered and so on. She said, we went to church somewhere. We were sitting there in church. There's a missionary there. Got up just to get a cup. He said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm ready to go to my field of endeavor. I need $16,000 for passage. He said, I looked at my husband. He looked at me. I reached in my purse, pulled out my checkbook. I held it while my husband wrote out a check. I pulled it off. He gave it to that. He said, I call these my missionary floor. Don't you think that? I want to say, the men and women of America, some of them, God help us to have one. Father in heaven, I pray you bless. I know down the road of my life, I have life. I have lack integrity. I have lack
the ability to obey my mama. She told me as a little boy, Jim, if you don't have anything good to say about something, don't say anything at all. I like the mother. Father in heaven, the thing or the things that are lacking in our life this afternoon that are keeping us from being like your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray you help us to take care of it. Whatever that is in our life that least resembles you, pray you help us to take care of it. With our relationships in our home, with our wife, or our husband. Those things that we have between us at least resemble a child's blood. May we hand in hand on our knees take care of it. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. No music, no other stuff for us. There's something lacking. Something needs to be taken care of. Hey, we've had invitations to preach a lot. None of them. Something you need to take care of in the last few minutes of this afternoon session. I wish you'd do it right now, would you? Get up from your seat and come. God bless you, brother. Take care of it. Lady. Husband. Son, daughter, preacher, missionary, evangelist, mind the good Lord, take care. So, preacher, I think I can handle it right here in the seat. There's some things you can't handle any place. Dear Jesus, thank you for the time. Thank you for the good spirit of food that we've been gorged with these days. Pray you take us out and reach ahead and help us to use it. Pray you manufacture in our ministry that which will be pleasing to our master. In his name we ask.